שלום, אנחנו לומדים
Hello. We're learning the introduction. To the book From the Mouth of a Sage by Baal HaSulam. Hakdamat Pi Chacham, introduction to the book From the Mouth of the Sage.
Yeah, sorry.
Rav, towards the virtual congress, I have a question. Today, we see that in the modern world, people read less and less books. At the same time, it's very important to know how a Kabbalah book, what's the importance of a Kabbalah book, whether it's paper book or on the computer.
You see this? It's a book. It could be written on stone, on wood, on clay, on some piece of paper. But it's in written form. Black on white, on a white background. Maybe. We can also say that about the computer, but there's a different kind of perception. I can't explain it. It's not a part of this talk. It's not a part of the question that you asked. But it's not related to... But I prefer a book. I don't think that books will disappear. Like, you know, some, so to speak, modern people that live only in this era and can't see what's before, what's after, it won't disappear. The electronical things, they're good for transient things that come and go, but things that are related to spirituality, they have to be in front of you. They can't be dependent on anything else besides you and that which is in front of you. Not on electricity, not on anything else. It's a different kind of approach. This is something that you hold on to and it becomes yours. Therefore, I'm all in favor of us studying from books. Like you're sitting right now reading from books, even though that we talked about it many times, that maybe it's good to bring everyone some kind of laptop. That's it. Sometimes when I give lectures in universities, I see everyone sitting with a laptop. And this is how they study. And obviously, this is how it's supposed to be. In the wisdom of Kabbalah, I don't have many books. And we study all of these books in order to put them inside of ourselves. Therefore, as it says, book, author, story, these are all more inner matters. I'm all for reading from printed books.
And now, if I give someone a book as a gift, it's not the source book. It's usually books that we find, we edit from your lessons.
Doesn't matter, same topic.
So what do I give a person when I give him such a present?
I give a person connection with the Creator, even that it was written by us. But it's connection. Because in the meantime, he can't immediately perceive the Book of Zohar, Tess, or even the writings of Rabash that have different hardships. There is a problem, or there's the hardship in understanding, and there's a hardship in understanding regarding the inner connection, the connection in mind and heart. It's really hard for beginners. And therefore, we write our books that are a kind of a transition between what a person's used to and what he's supposed to come to, the real Kabbalah books. We study from the sources of Baal HaSulam and Rabash and the Book of Zohar. But for beginners, we have no choice. We have to give them something. It's like when you go to school. They're not, the students aren't immediately given serious books, but they read books with pictures, with colors, and so on. Same with us. But even our books that we write for beginners as help books, as a kind of transition, it's also preferable to study them in their written form.
pronounced form. And now heading towards the Congress, we know that our books are translated to many languages, mainly to Spanish, English, and Russian. And what you said was relevant to all the languages or only Hebrew?
No, it doesn't matter what language. The language of Kabbalah has four different languages, and it's completely unrelated to the hundreds of languages that you have in the world. And therefore, that doesn't matter what language it was written in. If it talks about spiritual matters or pertains to spiritual matters, then it's preferred to read it from a printed book.
Meaning, if I give someone a book in any language, my message is that.
You have to give a book that will really connect a person to spirituality and for it to be printed. This is what I am sure of, understand, and to this day, and I'm sure that this is how it's going to be. Anyone who studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, and in general, the Torah, studies it from the printed books. You can't study it from a computer. It is a tool that's far from the soul. So let's hope that you'll succeed. And you, mister? Same.
Introduction to the book From the Mouth of a Sage. It is known from books and from authors that the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah is an absolute must for any person from Israel. And if one studies the whole Torah and knows the Mishnah and the Gemara by heart, and if one is also filled with virtues and good deeds more than all his contemporaries, but has not learned the wisdom of Kabbalah, he must reincarnate into this world to study the secrets of Torah and the wisdom of truth. This is brought in several places in the writings of our sages.
Obviously, why he has to reincarnate? Because he did not make himself a corrected part of the soul of Adam HaRishon. So, sure, his soul is still in need of correction, and the correction begins from this world. Therefore, he has to reincarnate down to the lowest degree here. If there are any questions along the way, please, but according to the text. Also from abroad, if someone wants to ask, please, but according to the text that we're studying. Meaning everyone has to eventually, after all the his corporeal incarnations, he has to be instilled in the system of Adam HaRishon as an indispensable component, and he has to incarnate still in such an incarnation in which he comes to the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah in different ways. Either he'll study the wisdom of Kabbalah on his own, or he'll help it in some way. But one way or another, he has to be active somehow in the system of Adam HaRishon. Yeah.
In the previous sources, meaning the Gemara and the Mishnah,
we're talking only about those books that are talking about the realization demanded by the wisdom of Kabbalah, written in the language of Kabbalah. The language of Gemara, Lacha, Tanakh, all of these languages, sure, we can study them too, but in our generation, they can't serve as manual guides or guiding books for the correction of the soul. But to study, sure. But if a person already has reached some kind of attainment in the wisdom of Kabbalah, then he opens those books, and in them, he also starts seeing those very same steps that he read about in the language of Kabbalah, and there he understood, because there he talks about his inner efforts, about his desires, thoughts, intentions, actions. whereas when it speaks about this in the language of the Torah or in general, in those in other writings, he can't understand, or in general, in the he can't understand that way.
So learning the internality of the Torah out of these ancient books is not enough for me to reach correction.
You won't understand that you have to correct yourself. It was something that was enough for very exalted souls in the past. Today, for sure it's not. And we see it. We see that anyone who studies besides the wisdom of Kabbalah, besides the language of Kabbalah, the holy books, although it's something that's respected, but he does not achieve the correction of his soul because it's insufficient. He also explains it in this introduction and in many other places. And why is it written so that were he not to study the wisdom of Kabbalah, meaning in the language of Kabbalah, meaning that he learned about the correction of the soul, then he has to reincarnate?
This is what the Zohar writes in the interpretation to the Song of Songs, explaining the verse, "If thou now know not, O thou fairest among women," which our sages interpreted as a soul that comes before the throne after one's demise. The Creator tells it, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women."
Meaning as if the soul ascends to the holy throne and she's asked,
"Although you are the fairest among women and virtuous in good deeds more than all the souls, if you do not have knowledge in the secrets of the Torah, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock."
Meaning, unless you've corrected your kelim and you've received some kind of light in them that fulfills the kli according to equivalence of form, that's called that you've discovered the secrets of the Torah, then it's the situation is unsatisfactory. You have not completed your correction. You have to go back and complete it.
"Leave here and never return to this world, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Go there to the seminaries and learn the secrets of Torah from the mouths of the disciples of our sages."
Now, that's how it is? Therefore, there are very clear and absolute rules here, and we have to actualize them. No choice. Only when we're here, or are we given free choice to realize it, maybe not. What we don't understand is that all of these things are only in order for us to correctly decide. But in terms of the final outcome, the correction has to be fully implemented, and if not, then you carry it from one incarnation to the next, and so on.
We must understand their words, conditioning one's perfection on the study of the wisdom of truth. Seemingly, how is it different from the other words of the revealed Torah? We found nowhere that one is obligated to understand all the subjects of the Torah, and that he will not be completed if one subject in the Torah is missing. Moreover, our sages said that it is not the study that is the most important, but the act. Our sages also said, "One does much, the other little, as long as they aim their hearts to heaven." And there are many such sayings.
Yeah, that we don't really understand, first of all, what do we have to do? And secondly, they talk about the importance of the studying, not of the action.
In order to attain the depth of their above words, we must first understand what has been written many times in the Zohar and the Tikkunim, the corrections of the Zohar, wisely and daintily. The Torah, the Creator, and Israel are one. This seems very perplexing.
I have nothing to add. It says, Israel, the light, and the Creator are one. When? What is it? I don't know. Israel is probably the people of Israel. I don't understand what that is. What is this concept? Olaitam. It's the Torah, it's what's written, the commentary to what's written, the content, and Kodesh Brichu, the Creator, the upper force. What? How could these three things be so different? Israel, our people. Olaita, it's something that was written and passed on to human beings, and the Creator. Why is it all one? These are 3 degrees that are have a completely different manifestation.
Before I elucidate their words, I will notify you that our sages have defined a great rule for us regarding all the holy names and appellations in the books. These are their golden words. Anything that we do not attain, we do not define by a name. Interpretation. It is known that there is no thought and perception in him whatsoever. As it is written in the article, Elijah started in the beginning of the Tikkunim of the Zohar. For that reason, even the thought of the self of the Creator is forbidden, much less the speech. All the names we call him do not refer to his self, but only to his lights, expanding from him to the lower ones. Even the holy name, Ein Sof, infinity, presented in the Kabbalah books, is also regarded as light that expands from his essence. But since he determined that his light, which expands from his self, will be attained by the lower ones as Ein Sof, we shall therefore define it by that name. Yet this does not refer to his essence, Atzmuto, since there is absolutely no perception or thought in him. Thus, how shall we define him by name and word?
Meaning he explains here that there is Atzmuto, his essence, something that we do not relate to whatsoever. It's something disconnected from us as some primordial source. From it or him spreads light, which we all also don't understand what that is, some kind of bestowal that spreads from Atzmuto. But what comes to us, which gives us feeling, this we call light. It spreads according to the law of equivalence of form, like we study in physics. The same law applies to all of nature, the law of equivalence of form, that I have to have the same qualities as that something that I wish to attain. And then, according to the equivalence of form between me and that which I want to attain, I do. This is how it always is. Just like we feel colors, sounds, different things, and all our 5 senses, whatever we attain, it's according to the law of equivalence of form. So we have 1 additional sense for the upper light, for that bestowal that comes from the Creator, this special kind of bestowal, that the sense is as if dormant in us. We have to open it up. And we open it up to the extent to which we create the same attribute, quality out of it as the light is. But I can't reveal the light before I open up this sense to the light. So how can I know? How can I open this sense? Where is it in me? How do I open it in order to feel the light? And so therefore here, we are under concealment. And what are we going to do about it? So, comes the wisdom of Kabbalah and explains how you have to open this sense in order to reveal the upper light, to reveal bestowal, additional special bestowal from the Creator. In addition to vision, hearing, smell, taste, touch, in addition to that, another 6th sense.
Any novice in the wisdom of truth must contemplate the above great rule before any scrutiny in a book of Kabbalah, that even the thought is forbidden in his self, in Atzmuto, since there is no perception in him whatsoever.
Because you can't grasp it in thought, then what contemplations could there be? All the more discussions and so on.
Thus, how do we mention a name or a word in him which indicates attainment? However, it is a great mitzvah to examine and research in his illuminations, which expand from him, which are all the holy names and appellations brought in the books. It is an utter must for any person from Israel to study and understand the secrets of Torah and all the ways of his bestowal upon the lower ones, which are the gist of the wisdom of truth and the future reward of the souls at the end of correction.
Meaning, we're committed to attain the entire light spreading from the Creator to us according to the law of equivalence of form, and by it to fill this new kli, this new sense that we develop. That's called neshama, the soul, and its fulfillment is called the filling of the soul.
It is written in the words of our sages, in the Zohar and the Tikkunim, that all the upper worlds and all the holy sefirot of the five worlds, Ak and Abiyah, have been prepared ahead of time in quantity and quality to complement the children of Israel. This is so because the soul of one from Israel is a part of God from above, and the end of an act is in the preliminary thought.
A man from Israel, it means that he has the inclination toward Yashar Kel, being aimed straight at the Creator, and therefore he's a part of that soul, one soul, general soul that yearns for the Creator.
It arose in his simple will to delight with reward for the labor. And for that reason, the entire reality expanded before him by way of sequence of cause and their consequences in the descent of the degrees through the worlds Ak and Abiyah. Finally, they elicited two discernments clothed in one another. The soul from the concealments of heaven, which expands and robes the corporeal body.
Meaning that there is the desire to receive, which is the desire to receive, but when it's equipped with the intention in order to bestow, then it can start receiving, it's capable of starting to receive inside itself something that extends from Atzmuto, which is called the upper light.
The essence of reality expanded through the last degree, which is the corporeal body with the soul. Similarly, the concatenation was made by way of cause and consequence, relating to the essence of the existence of reality, which is the ways of his bestowal that hang down by gradations. Thus, the upper light is higher than high, and will ultimately expand and come to the soul clothed in the corporeal body in this world. As it is written, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them."
Meaning that eventually everyone has to attain the entire upper spreading light that spreads from Atzmuto down to us, and this way to fulfill the kli that we will put together, and accordingly there will come Gemara Tikkun and the end of the action. Yes. Quickly.
Now, I'd like to go back one moment. He says that one must reincarnate into this world to study the wisdom of truth, the secrets of Torah. And then he says, but it's not that to learn what's important, the action. What is an action in Kabbalah?
An action is an act of bestowal, meaning through bestowing onto others, you reach bestowal or bestowing to the Creator. And really, there's no difference. You start with your fellow man, and you shift to the Creator, meaning you add another degree in intention.
I don't understand what he's saying when he says midrash. It's the study of the wisdom of Kabbalah.
Midrash, it means that you demand the purpose of creation.
So that's not the main thing. You see, I don't know what the action means, but
that, to demand the corrections, it's something that you can do only in action, that you begin the work, and the Creator completes it and fulfills you. Bless us.
Good morning, Rav, dear friends and worldly. I have a question from Romania, from Florin. We also have Adrian from Romania here. He's on duty. So the question is, in the first verse, it says that the soul incarnates from one Jew to another, but basically the whole world is one Kli. So why does it talk about the people of Israel in the first verse, first sentence?
And that's a question, really. That already stems from the division that was made in Babylon. And we have to see that in those souls that existed or lived in Babylon, there was a part that was related to Abraham, meaning that they felt they had a certain attitude toward the purpose of creation, and those that didn't feel, but everyone's obligated. And even though that Abraham called out to everyone, those that connected with him or to him were called Yehudim, Jews, both from the word connection, and also the meaning that they are related to the Creator. And then those sparks clothe in the descendants of Babylon, so to speak. This one thing. Another thing is that since the Exodus from Egypt and on, and also before that, we see it from the Mikra, the Bible. Many people join the people of Israel that aren't, so to speak, the descendants of Abraham, meaning the group of Abraham. Therefore, they're called descendants because they're part of the same path. Because physically wise, Abraham only had Isaac and Ishmael. So, many, many joined from the Malchut of Israel, from the house of David. And it also says in the sources, and we have this, it was passed on to us, that many, many people used to come from many nations from around Israel and used to come and study the wisdom of Kabbalah as the wisdom of life. This is how it was until the destruction of the temple. Also, philosophy started there and so on. Whereas, after the destruction of the second temple, Israel went into exile in order to connect to them the souls of the nations. And years later, of course, but you see the result. You start seeing that also between the nations of the world, there is this kind of inclination toward it that's starting to awaken, especially in our times. And they too are called Israel, meaning Yeshar Kel, by inclination. those that are aimed straight at the Creator, and therefore there is no difference. Regarding spirituality, we're not counting according to whether your mother is Jewish. And altogether, that's a question. But according to the heart's inclination, is a person Yashar Kel or not? That's it.
Thank you very much, Rav.
And this is how it is to this day. Moscow had a question. Let's allow them to ask. We allow them to ask first and let's and last. Moscow.
We have a very happy announcement to make and a request. A week ago, you said in the lesson, Rav, that we hope that Australia group will probably gather only in the final correction, physically for a congress. And I guess we live in the times of the final correction, because the friends have decided that 8 friends will gather in Sydney for a congress and they will be with us all the time.
That's good.
The request is, we have 1 week till the Congress. And throughout the whole world, plea, there's only one point we have not conquered yet, which is the Francophone plea, French plea, French-speaking plea. We have tried to affect them in any possible way, but without us, the whole CLI, thinking and praying for them, we cannot gather them together. So let's try to pray and give them motivation and do whatever we can so that these friends can physically be seen in the Congress together, all the French-speaking friends, maybe in Africa, maybe in France, wherever they can, let's do it together.
Let's really hope that they will also merit. Because, really, it's worse than Australia.
The daily task. Let's move on to the daily task. Zohar lesson. You're all invited to watch us at 1:30 in our channel. A lesson with Dr. Rav Lightman is 1:30. Thank you. Have a good day. מציאות חולפת ואני עכשיו חושב מה ייתן תקווה ויסלק את הכאב יוצא אל הרחוב מתערבב בתוך כולם מי צריך את מי יותר אני או העולם כי we are you should come out. Теперь я точно знаю, все мы соединены. Любой вопрос решаем, если вместе будем мы. Жизнь она как сказка, если мы одна семья. Бесконечно прекрасный мир и 7 миллиардов я. Here we are, you should come along. With one voice we can spread this song. Bring down the walls, you know it won't be long. When we're together we cannot be wrong. Si nos dirigimos a un deseo por la unión, todas las puertas se abren al abrir tu corazón. Nada es imposible cuando hay fuerza y voluntad. Juntos bailaremos hasta la eternidad.